This is Chatterbox, the Norwich Talking Newspaper. And this is edition number 1983, recorded on Thursday, the 2nd of November 2017. You can call us on 01603 765 365. That's 765 365 with your news, views and comments. We always like hearing from you. This part of Chatterbox is read by Sarah Lomax and me, Rupert Hipwell. In this edition, as well as local news, letters and information desk, we have two features by Derek James concerning coppers and chocolate. More about these later. But to begin, news this week of the NDR playing host to cyclists and walkers, the launch of this year's Poppy Appeal, and the cost to the Canaries of relegation. The clocks have gone back, the nights are darker, and Norwich holds a spooky city event.
Ghastly ghosts, vicious vampires and frightening fiends flooded Norwich's streets to take part in a petrifying Halloween parade. Performers based at the Garage and the University of East Anglia put on eerie entertainment outside the Forum to kick off the spooky city event, as characters moved throughout the crowd, giving a scare to those watching the main show. Dave and Shell Abrahams from Norwich took part in the parade with two-year-old Bobby. While Dave went along as Frankenstein's monster, Shell was a fallen angel, with little Bobby was a ghost pirate. Mr. Abraham said, "We came because we live locally and it's good for everyone to get out together. It's also safer, I think, than going and knocking on people's doors." Stephen Mickleborough, Bryony Snelling and their seven-year-old son Joshua put plenty of work into their trio of Ghostbuster costumes. Miss Snelling said going to the parade had become a bit of a tradition. She said, "We've been working on our costumes for a couple of weeks now. It's great to have events like this in the city." In Chapelfield Gardens, an array of weird and wonderful characters greeted the parade before an exciting circus and music show rounded off the evening. Norwich City Council Culture and Events Manager Helen Selleck said, "Everybody has made a real effort and this is all about Norwich and the culture of the city. I don't think you'd see something quite like this in other places. We start thinking about the next year's event straight after this one. We've had a huge crowd turnout."
Cyclists, runners and walkers had exclusive access to a section of the Norwich Northern Distributor Road prior to it opening to traffic. Hundreds of people turned up to explore the westernmost part of the dual carriageway on Sunday between the A1067 Fakenham Road and the new Drayton Lane. One of the more unusual sights along the three-mile stretch was a doctor riding a penny farthing. The Pushing Ahead event was organised to demonstrate how new cycle lanes and links had been created as part of the NDR work. But those opposing the road's development labelled it as a vulgar publicity stunt by Norfolk County Council. The Wensum Valley Alliance staged a protest at the opening against what they claimed was a massive overspend on the NDR. Jen Parkhouse, chairman of the campaign group, said, "This Cycle Explorer Day is a vulgar publicity stunt. For just 6 hours today, the council will be feigning interest in recreation activities such as walking, running and cycling. Thereafter, they will revert to their obsession with road building. The first section of the NDR is due to open next month." Council leader Cliff Jordan said earlier in October that he believed the final cost of the road would be between £200 million and £205 million. The council had previously budgeted £179.5 million for the development.
This year's Poppy Appeal has been launched in Thorpe St Andrew. Collectors will be based at the Sainsbury store on Pound Lane until Remembrance Sunday on November the 12th. Royal British Legion members were accompanied by Town Mayor Ian Mackey and Norfolk County Council Chairman John Ward for the appeal's launch on Saturday. Last year's collection at the supermarket raised £8,500 in 3 weeks. Julian Mogford from RBL of the Thorpe branch has organised for this year's launch event. He said, "Donations are spent on helping veterans stay in their own homes, helping military families, helping the injured servicemen recover, teaching children the meaning of remembrance and careers advice for service leaders. Linda Andrews, PR ambassador for Sainsbury, said, "We hope to once again help raise a significant amount for the Royal British Legion."
The harsh cost of relegation at Carrow Road has been laid bare as a hit of £18.6 million in broadcasting money and falling parachute payments gave Norwich City FC a loss of £2.7 million in their latest accounts. It's a financial hit, largely driven by a season of Championship football, but worsened by severance payouts totalling more than £4 million, split between outgoing chief executive Jez Moxey, former manager Alex Neil, and some of his coaching staff. Income for the club is down by almost £25 million year on year, from £100.6 million in 2015-16 to £75.9 million in the last financial year. The loss has taken Norwich City from a profit of £9.4 million in 2015-16 to a loss of £2.7 million for the year ending on June 30, 2017. It comes amid a fundamental shake-up of staff with the creation of the new structure and appointments of Stuart Webber and Daniel Fark. The reality is that the financial gap between the Premier League and Championship has widened, said Chairman Ed Balls. The accounts show how hard it is to be relegated. Even though we tried to plan to ensure player wages came down too, it wasn't enough to fill the gap. Of the £4.4 million in severance costs paid out over the last year, £712,000 went to former chief executive Jez Moxey, despite the fact he was only in the job for 7 months. Mr. Ball said a sizeable chunk of it went to Alex Neil, with the remainder divided among 15 others, including some of the old coaching staff. The exact figure paid to Neil could not be revealed due to contract confidentiality. That severance pay was on the one hand money we would rather not have spent, but on the other hand it's money we spent in order to put in place changes that we all felt and many fans felt were necessary, said Mr. Balls. When the judgment was made that we needed to make a change, we accepted the financial consequences of that.
A lunchtime concert marking the centenary of the end of the Battle of Passchendaele will take place at the St. Peter Mancroft Church in Norwich. The Oriole Singers will open the concert with a series of short songs from the First World War, filled with optimism and gusto, before gradually shifting to a more subdued tone to reflect the true horror of the war. After the last post, the concert will close on an appropriately poignant and reflective note with a performance of Requiem for the Fallen. The concert's conductor, Martin Wyatt, said, "The Battle of Passchendaele was a calamitous event, resulting in 430,000 men losing their lives. We feel performing these evocative songs is a suitable way to mark 100 years since the end of the battle and to remember those who died." The concert will begin at 1:30 p.m. on Friday, November the 10th. Admission is free and there will be a collection in aid of the Muscular Sclerosis Therapy Centre in Helsdon.